Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Thank you so much for tuning in to a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. So much to talk about, so little time. I wish we had 4 hours. Boy, there's a lot of stories that are breaking, obviously, for the developing story, the nonstop. I mean, it just develops every single minute, practically, the whole COVID-19 situation. We're going to take a little bit of a break from that because we're going to be talking with Anthony DiStefano. And I have to say, this book published by our friends at Sophia Institute Press, I mean, Anthony's books are amazing. He's a great author. He has some number of books for adults, but his children's books are just, they just grab you. And I don't think they're just for children. I actually think that adults can get an awful lot out of them too, reminding us of who our Lord is, how much he loves us, and the tenderness that he shows. But the way Anthony picks up on things and is able to turn them into such beautifully illustrated books that tell a particular story about, and this one we'll talk about in a second, the Blessed Mother, or take a verse from Scripture, or take maybe one of the animals seen in Scripture that was in the background in a particular gospel story, let's say the donkey on Palm Sunday, those kinds of things. He just picks up and is able to really bring us there in a very different type of Lectio Divina, so to speak, to really have a deeper understanding of our Lord's journey and our journey with him. And this latest book, it has to be, I think, the most beautifully illustrated book I've ever seen, children's book. It's off the charts. It's called Our Lady's Wardrobe, and it's illustrated by Juliana Kolosova. And Sophia sent me this book, and I couldn't put it down. This, I think, would be a great book for Easter, and I'm hoping you can get it in time for Easter. But the whole idea is that Our Lady, before she was assumed into heaven and when she lived on the earth and was raising our Lord, she lived a very simple life, right? They were a poor Jewish family, and so she didn't have, obviously, a closet full of clothes. And yet when she gets to heaven and become the Queen of all saints, the Queen of Heaven, and all the other beautiful titles that have been bestowed on her, she has a wardrobe of beautiful, quote-unquote, clothes, and he ties it in with how she is seen in the different miracles and the apparitions around the world, the approved apparitions, whether it's Guadalupe, whether it's Fatima, whether it's Lourdes. He takes us through all of these apparitions and helps us see Our Lady in such a beautiful way while learning about the apparitions. It's brilliant, and it's beautiful. And Anthony DiStefano is coming on with us in about 15 minutes to talk about it from our friends at Sophia Institute Press. And then we go to Rome. Some interesting developments and different stories out of Rome. Catholic News Agency had a story the other day, and I trust them. They're one of the most solid resources out there. In terms of this situation of the title of the Pope, the Vicar of Christ, there was apparently a yearbook, and there was something done with the title, and there's been a lot of controversy. Well, CNA has been covering it, Joan's been covering it, and she's going to give us the latest. Apparently, also, there's some new discussions being scheduled, taking another look at the female diaconate. So we will be talking about those two things with Joan Lewis live from Rome on this Wednesday of Holy Week, and also the Holy Father's message. I also want to say a big thank you to publisher that I'm now working with and proud to be doing at least 3 books with them so far, Sophia Institute Press, and I've got 2 books coming out with them in the next 2 years. But these past few weeks, as you know, have been very challenging for me and my family with the passing of my mom during COVID-19. She died of heart failure and other issues related to her age. But having a loved one, and Cardinal Dolan talked about this the other day in an interview he did on his regular Catholic show, what it's like to lose someone during this pandemic, especially as a Catholic, because the funeral liturgy, the rites that we bestow on the dignity of a person from conception until natural death, and that sending them off, and the blessings, and just the graces, and the beauty of bringing people together for the liturgy is very powerful. And Cardinal Dolan made a really, really good point. When you don't have the ability to have that Mass, and also when you can't have a wake, right? We had a very small private viewing for my mom, but we couldn't hug. We had to sit 6 feet apart in the funeral home. They did a beautiful job, but they were watching to make sure we were separated in the viewing room. And then even at the cemetery, there were separate rules. We had to wait till the workers put the casket into the ground. Then they backed up. They got back into their vehicles, and we were allowed to go out and separate around the grave for the rite of committal. So it's a very somber and sad thing to go through, losing someone to begin with, and then during the whole COVID-19 pandemic. And so I really just felt compelled to write about that experience to help people through it and to show how God, through very close friends and through some other God-cidences, as I like to say, really helped me in terms of dealing with the whole situation and seeing the grace that came and the lessons that I've already learned. And I just kept writing and writing. Writing is very, it's like a catharsis for me, and I can get it out of my system and kind of deal with things by writing. And I was just writing very quickly, collecting all these beautiful stories about people from all over the world making a difference, including, you want a tearjerker? Go and look at the EWTN News Nightly website and a story they did on this adorable landowner in Brooklyn. He's a landlord. And 200 tenants. And he said, you don't have to pay your rent for April. Done. Bill is gone. 200 tenants. He would not tell EWTN News Nightly how much money it cost him. He said, that's not the point. And they had a shot of his office with all these images of Our Lady and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And he said, it's my Catholic faith that led me to do this. I mean, tearjerker, grab the Kleenex when you watch this story. But stories like that are happening all over the U.S., all over the world. And so I gathered some of the, I think, my most favorite ones, including that one, and put it into the book. It also has an in-depth resource section with all kinds of prayers for whatever particular situation you find yourself in. If you're an EMS worker, if you're one of the medical people on the front lines, if you're a parent concerned about your children, if you have someone with COVID-19, my team at Sophia and Teresa Tamio Communications worked very, very hard, practically around the clock the last couple of days to bring this book to you. And it is called Conquering Corona, How Faith Can Set Our Fears to Rest. You'll find it on my Facebook page. It's also up now. There's a link to order it at Sophia Institute Press's page. And please, I hope you send it to someone maybe who is a shut-in or someone who's really struggling right now with this whole situation, and especially someone who is teetering on their faith. Let's say they're not sure of things or where God stands. I wrote it for them, too. So I don't know how I turned it around. I wrote it, literally wrote this book in 3 days. Obviously, a movement of the Holy Spirit, because I sure as heck ain't that good. I'm just saying. Yeah, I just felt really strongly about doing it, and I called up Charlie at Sophia, and I said, I don't know if this is possible, and Tom Allen, I said, but if you guys can work with me, I could probably have the manuscript to you by Monday. And they pull together, and we have a beautiful book for you with tons of resources, and you'll see it on my Facebook page and also at Sophia Institute Press, Conquering Coronavirus, How Your Faith Can Help Put Fears to Rest. So we'll be talking about that more as the weeks and months continue. I do hope you find it a helpful resource, because that's why I wrote it. Alrighty then, it's already 8 minutes past the hour. It is what's today? Wednesday, April 8th. So much to talk about. First, we need to get through the news before we take a break and discuss a beautiful book, A Great Easter Gift for the Easter Baskets, Our Lady's Wardrobe by our friend Anthony DiStefano. Let's see what's happening today on a Wednesday of Holy Week. Here we go. Well, meditating on the Lord's Passion, the Pope says, can help us as we struggle with questions about God and suffering during the coronavirus crisis. That was a message at the audience today. Catholic News Agency saying, speaking via live stream due to the pandemic, the Pope urging Catholics to spend time this Holy Week sitting in silent prayer before a crucifix and reading the Gospels. At a time when churches around the world are closed, he said, this will be for us, so to speak, a great domestic liturgy. He says, the cross shows us that Jesus, he who does not point the finger at anyone, instead opens his arms wide to everyone. Archbishop Anthony Fisher of Sydney welcoming the acquittal of Cardinal George Pell by Australia's highest court. Pell was freed from prison yesterday after the High Court decided unanimously to overturn his conviction for child sex offenses. Fisher, who succeeded Pell as Archbishop of Sydney in 2014, said in a statement that the Cardinal has always maintained his innocence and today's decision confirms his conviction was wrong. He says, I am pleased the Cardinal will now be released, and he's asking that the pursuit of him that brought him to this case may now be moved aside. Baltimore's Archbishop William Laurie commenting on the situation, saying the coronavirus has led to a very painful and difficult time. He says while he wants nothing more than to open churches in the Archdiocese, he said the church recognizes a massive public health threat.
We want to celebrate this Easter, but I want as many people as possible to celebrate many more Easters. And so for that reason, we have taken these extraordinary steps.
Archbishop Laurie will be celebrating Holy Week and Easter services at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen, which will be live streamed. The Easter Sunday Mass will also in Baltimore be broadcast live on WBAL-TV. Now, just to remember that EWTN is also carrying a number of live services and masses around Washington and around the world, and we've got our schedule right on the homepage at EWTN.com. And many archdioceses are either connecting with us, doing their own masses, or both. And so you have a variety of different masses and Good Friday services to choose from. But check it out, both Ave Maria Radio and EWTN carrying a number of these events around the country and the world. Interesting story out of Michigan, a Christian publishing company reporting rising Bible sales during the pandemic. Tyndale House Publishing saying it saw dramatic increases last month. The company says sales for its Life Application Study Bible rising 44%. An executive at Tyndale telling the Christian Post yesterday that its Facebook page for their new Living Translation has experienced a 72% jump in engagement rates. Wow. Jews around the world are celebrating Passover, the first of 8 days, beginning tonight at sundown. Families traditionally gather around the table for a Seder meal and prayer commemorating the exodus of the Jewish slaves out of Egypt. Meanwhile, Passover, Easter, and Ramadan celebrations will be very different this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. Rabbi Noam Marins with the American Jewish Committee in New York says most religious share a common premise, and he says this time with the pandemic, it's causing us to focus on our values.
When all of the practicalities have been made more difficult, the values have been heightened.
He says families will forego, though, the usual large gatherings. President Trump, as Mark Mayfield tells us, is very happy so far about how the testing is going across the country for COVID-19.
It's America continues to perform more tests than any other nation in the world, and I think that's probably why we have more cases.
He told reporters at the White House over 1.8 million people have been tested for the illness. Trump explained that he thinks the U.S. has more COVID cases because of the amount of testing and other countries not reporting results. He also said some tests can give you results in a matter of about 5 minutes. The U.S. leads the world in coronavirus cases, having about 240,000 more than the next closest country.
President Trump, meanwhile, acknowledging that African Americans are overwhelmingly dying of coronavirus at a much higher rate compared to other Americans in some major cities. And the president of the Atlanta Medical Association, Dr. Frank Jones, has some insight as to why this is.
You know, the African-American community, we have pre-existing conditions such as obesity, such as asthma, such as diabetes, hypertension. I mean, our communities are rampant with those things anyway. Now you compound it by this deadly disease. I mean, it's no surprise that we're going to get hit harder.
According to reports in states such as Illinois, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, and North Carolina, African Americans are dying at disproportionately higher rates compared with whites. Americans who are struggling financially because of the coronavirus pandemic should prioritize necessities such as food, rent, and utilities. That is the advice of Larry Harris, the Fred V. Keenan Chair in Finance at the USC Marshall School of Business.
For the people who don't have those reserves, that's a real problem. They're going to have to cut their consumption until they get money from the government. And the money from the government probably won't be enough to cover all of their expenses.
Harris saying anyone who can afford it should save the stimulus check they'll be receiving soon for a rainy day fund. Costa Cruises being sued after three people died from coronavirus. Passengers say the ship never should have set sail from Florida back on March 5th. By then, two other cruises were already dealing with outbreaks, but the Luminosa went on to Europe despite evacuating several people and being turned away at one stop. The lawsuit claims the company was negligent. And finally, in our news segment at 14 minutes past the hour, DiMuccio explains that teens are not spending as much during the pandemic. And matter of fact, their spending has plunged.
A new survey from investment banking company Piper Sandler says total spending from Generation Z is down 13%, the lowest level in 9 years. When teens do spend, the most popular brands are Nike, Lululemon, Amazon, Chick-fil-A, and Starbucks. When asked about their top social or political concern, the coronavirus came in second. The study found the number one concern among teenagers is the environment.
It's a Wednesday of Holy Week. Hope it's going well for you. Stay tuned to all the beautiful Holy Week programming we'll have for you at EWTN, EWTN.com, as well as AveMariaRadio.net, co-producers of this and many other programs here at the network. I can't wait to talk about this book with our friend Anthony DeStefano. It's just gorgeous. Our Lady's Wardrobe, illustrated by Juliana Kolesova, and just a thing of beauty indeed. We'll be right back.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This Ave Maria Radio produced program is brought to you by the following nonprofit.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn. My brand new book, Hope to Die, The Christian Meaning of Death and the Resurrection of the Body, is now available for pre-order at stpaulcenter.com. That's stpaulcenter.com. I do hope that everyone will get a chance to read this book and reflect on the Christian meaning of death and the virtue of hope, especially in this season of grace and crisis.
Our Lady's Wardrobe, the latest book from our dear friend, Anthony DeStefano, wonderful author, speaker, and pro-life warrior. Anthony, I have to tell you, this all of your books, the illustrators that you've had in the past have been phenomenal, but this one, maybe it's because I'm such a bling person and I just enjoy dressing nicely and dressing well. The way you have depicted Our Lady in the various approved apparitions with Our Lady's Wardrobe, this is off the charts, really, seriously. Congratulations on a stunning book.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, and I'd love to talk about Juliana Kolesova when you want, because she's what a brilliant illustrator she is. It's the first time I've ever worked with her.
Wow.
And, you know, for Mary, for Our Lady, I wanted to only get the absolute best, you know?
Yes.
For everything. So
yes.
We went, you know, full thrusters on this one.
So you're dedicating this to, and you say it's an adorable picture of this little boy, and I love the fact that he's left-handed, because I'm left-handed. This book is dedicated to Our Lady, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary. So tell us where this came from in your heart.
Oh, I've always had a devotion to Our Lady of the Rosary. I just have. Even before I was when I was in my teens and 20s, before I had become a committed Catholic again, I always had a devotion to Our Lady. I don't know why. It was just always there. Maybe because I'm Italian and I always, you know, think women are the greatest creation of God's, and there was some sort of affinity with Our Lady or devotion to her from the beginning. I don't know what the reason is. And I always recognized that the Rosary was a powerful prayer, and I think it helped me get back into my faith. So, and throughout my whole writing career, Our Lady of the Rosary has always been, you know, someone who I've prayed too, for intercession. So I just wanted to give her a nod on this one. I didn't want to dedicate this to any particular person. I wanted this one to be all about Mary.
And let's talk about the idea in terms of showing her in the various apparitions, because this is really a nice little lesson on the approved apparitions and the miracles associated with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got the idea because when I look at all the male saints, like whether it's from St. Joseph to St. Francis to St. Anthony, you know, Teresa, they're always portrayed wearing the very, you know, drab brown robes. You know, they almost look interchangeable the way they're portrayed in paintings. But with Our Lady, it's so different. You know, she's, whether it's one of the approved apparitions or whether it's just whether she's portrayed under one of her many titles, she's always dressed beautifully with all of these colorful clothes, modest, always modest, but always beautiful. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be a great way to introduce children to Our Lady in a fun kind of way? Show some of these approved apparitions, say a little bit about what she did at these apparitions, and show the clothes. And then, even though she said different things during these apparitions, she always had the same basic message. Follow her son. Be close to Jesus. Love Jesus. So this book, even though it's about Mary, is very Christ-centered. And I thought it was a way to sum up the whole gospel message, but by doing it in a fun, interesting, colorful, beautiful way.
So what's been the response so far?
So far, it's been off the charts from Catholics anyway. You know, usually my books are very, faith tradition in Christianity can appreciate my books. I try to be like C.S. Lewis and write for all Christians, you know. Mm-hmm. But this particular book is obviously, you know, I think Protestants would like it too because it's very Christ-centered. But and it shows that Mary is all about Christ. But the response I've gotten from Catholics has been pretty much what you said, that they think that it's the most beautiful book that I've ever produced. And they love it. If you have a devotion to Our Lady, I think you're going to love this book.
The image of her on the cover, and she's, you know, the door open to the closet and the cross on the door, and then the sun rays coming into the closet and the crown in the background. It's subtle, but lets you know what she's trying to say to us in that beautiful look. And the images are so real. That's what's so moving, I think, her face.
And that's the idea. You know, I didn't want these images to be like Mary, you know, looks in these, you know, 16th century Baroque and late Renaissance paintings. Those are beautiful paintings. But, you know, the doctrine we have of the Assumption, this beautiful doctrine that we believe that Mary is in heaven right now with her body. You know, she is as real as you and I. She has a glorified body, but it's real. She's not a ghost. You know, and every time she's appeared in apparitions, whether it was to Saint Bernadette or to the children in Portugal, they always, when they were asked about how Mary looked, they always said she looked real. She looked just like us, except she was more beautiful. And I wanted that to come across, that truth to come across, that Mary is real right now. It's not just some, you know, religious painting or icon. She's as real as we are, and she's in heaven, so that means she's even more active than we are, because life in heaven is not less real and less active, but it's more real and more active.
Absolutely. 23 minutes past the hour, having a great conversation with Anthony DiStefano, his latest book. It's a children's book, but I really think it's for all of us. Our Lady's Wardrobe, published by our friends at Sophia Institute Press. SophiaInstitute.com. Check it out. I've got it posted on my Facebook page. I just e-blasted it out because I think it's so gorgeous. And, oh my gosh, it's just so, so pretty. And the way he explains the different apparitions and why she's wearing what she is, for example, in Our Lady of Guadalupe or Lourdes or Fatima, what a great teaching tool for those young people that you're home with right now. And even when they go back to school, if they are in a brick-and-mortar school outside the home, it's a great teaching tool. It's 23 minutes past the hour. Anthony, before we take a break, I love the fact that you started with Our Lady of Nazareth and this very simple, beautiful image of Our Lady, and then you turn the page and we have the Visitation.
Yes, well, and that's the basis of all of it, isn't it? Because Our Lady, from the very beginning, went on a visit. She went to see Elizabeth, and that's what she continues to do during these apparitions. She comes and visits us occasionally, just like she visited Elizabeth when she was alive on earth. So the apparitions, all the Marian apparitions, really come from this fact that Mary from the beginning was interested in helping others. You know, when she was told this news by Gabriel the archangel that she was pregnant with God. You know, you would have thought that she would have stayed to herself but instead her first reaction was to go out and care for others. You know, so she still does that today. She comes to us, and that's what she comes to us even now during this time when everyone is experiencing this time of loneliness and sickness and being scared. Our Lady will visit us.
Are you going to do anything video-wise with this? I mean, maybe do more for EWTN because it's so beautiful. I mean,
I think I'll read the book for EWTN, and I think that the Sophia Press has talked about doing paper dolls or coloring books and things like that. They want to do
with all the different outfits.
Yes, exactly. That was
listen to me. Let me plan the whole thing for you. The bling. Let's do the different crowns and everything else and accessories. You know, we can test it on Liliana and Francesca, my two grandnieces. They will go crazy for this. I can't wait to give them these books. More with Anthony DeStefano. You got to get this book, especially for Easter. Check it out at SophiaInstitutePress.com, Our Lady's Wardrobe. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. It is a Wednesday morning on EWTN's Catholic Connection. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The Catholic Catechism tells us that an evil end can corrupt an objectively good act. Our Lord pointed this out when he spoke of Pharisees praying and fasting, both objectively good acts, in order to be seen by men, a morally corrupt end which therefore corrupts all the actions. On the other hand, a good intention cannot justify an objectively evil action. One cannot turn fornication, a morally evil action in and of itself, by participating in it, even to save a life. Fornication is always wrong because it involves a disorder of the will, a moral evil. It is an error, the Catholic Catechism tells us, therefore to judge an act merely by considering the intention that inspired it or the circumstances such as social pressure or emergency. The end never justifies the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back. 28 minutes past the hour. Okay, so we're chatting with Anthony during the break, and Andrew is all by himself in the studio today because of what we're doing with trying to do the social distancing thing. And so normally he has help when answering the phones because we always get flooded with calls because Anthony is so generous in giving away books. Now, Anthony, we've devised, I think, is a good plan for folks to get a free copy, but they need to do what now?
I think, I don't have the email address, but if you go to my website at anthonydestefano.com, and we could spell that out for you, anthonydestefano.com, somewhere there's a link, contact us, and I think it takes you to an email that's anthony@anthonydestefano.com. I don't know what it is. But if you leave a message there and you say, hey, I was listening to Teresa Tomeo's show today, and I'd like a copy of the book, then I'll make sure you get a free copy of the book. I don't know if it'll be in the next couple of days. I might have to wait a week. But I will get you a free copy of the book if you mention Teresa's show.
All right, great. Because unfortunately we can't take the calls to take the addresses. We can take the questions. But poor Andrew is all by himself, and he has to basically bi-locate to get all this done.
We got him covered today.
We got him covered. All right, let's go to the phones. Patty is on line one, and she is from Ohio. Hey, Patty, happy Holy Week.
Hi, thank you. My question for Anthony, two questions. One, I was wondering where he gets inspiration for his book. He kind of already answered that when he was talking about some of the things for this book, but just in general. And then also, does he have any plans to do one on St. Joseph? And if not, maybe Ooh. Plant a seed for him to do one on St. Joseph. And the third, just to thank him, my daughter with special needs just really enjoys his books, and we've been so grateful for having them. So those are my questions.
Well, thank you so much, Patty. Yes, the inspiration usually comes when I'm, you know, I have to admit something. I don't enjoy a lot of times going to Mass. It's one of the crosses I have. I've never really loved Mass, even though I read hundreds of books about it and I know all about it. It's not something that I emotionally love. And God, in His divine providence, seems to give me all my inspirations for books while I'm at Mass. You know? It's God's sense of humor and the way He does things. So I get my inspiration a lot when I'm at Mass, when I'm going to receive communion, or sometimes when I'm at Eucharistic adoration. I get a lot of ideas, sometimes praying the rosary too. As far as a plan for a book on St. Joseph, yes, I do, as a matter of fact, but I can't tell you what the idea is because it's a secret, and people are listening, and they might take the idea. So I do have an idea for a book on St. Joseph. And,
all right, so stay tuned, as we say in broadcasting, right?
Yes. But right. Thank you for thinking of that. I thought the same thing.
All right, thanks so much for the phone call from beautiful state of Ohio. I want to give credit to this amazing illustrator. Tell us about her.
Her name is Juliana Kolosova, and she is a Russian-born illustrator who lives in Canada right now. And she has won all kinds of awards for her realistic kinds of paintings and graphic design work in advertising. She's just a master when it comes to mixing the realistic with the surreal. And I wanted an artist like that because I wanted to show this, I wanted to make clear this truth that Mary is real and she's living and she's breathing and she's not some Baroque painting and that she's active in heaven. This point I made before about how, you know, we're not less active in heaven, we're more active.
Right.
The saints in heaven and Mary are more active than ever. And I wanted to get an artist that wasn't going to be so cartoony as I've had in some of my other books that, you know, focus on animals like the donkey that no one could ride. I use different kinds of illustrators for different projects. And for this one, I wanted to get an artist who could really portray Mary realistically and beautifully.
So how did you hear of her?
I researched her. I just looked around. I went on all kinds of websites, and I went to an agency that deals with artists, and I looked at hundreds of artists before I settled on the one I want, and I didn't think she was going to be available because she's so busy with corporate work. But I happened to email her, and I got her immediately. And for some reason, you know, the way God works, when He wants something to happen, it happens immediately. And so we had the deal done all within 2 days, and
wow.
And we were starting to work on the project within 3 days. It was incredible the way it worked.
Yeah, so walk us through the book in terms of the stories you're telling here, Anthony, the copy.
Well, I was a rhyming book, as you know, and,
right.
And I don't, not all of my books are rhyming books, but when I want something to be powerful, and if it's simple enough, you can tell the story in a rhyming book, like the donkey that no one could ride, or like Our Lady's Wardrobe. And the value of that is it's memorable. It's so easy to remember rhymes. I still remember my first book that I ever read. In my life, when I was a little boy, my best friends are dinosaurs. You know, I remember, my best friends are dinosaurs. I love their scaly necks. My favorite ones are Bronte and Tyrannosaurus Rex. I still remember it 50 years later, and I would love for someone to remember a verse like that about Mary 50 years later. So I wanted to write a rhyming book. I started with the Visitation, and then I went to Mount Carmel, where Our Lady is dressed in brown and tan,
mm-hmm.
and wearing
mm-hmm.
a crown. Then I went to Guadalupe, you know, with Juan Diego, and, you know, she's wearing that beautiful turquoise and a beautiful image that appears. Then I went to the Miraculous Meadow in France, and Knock in Ireland.
Oh, that's such a pretty, Knock is gorgeous with all the green colors and everything, gorgeous.
And Our Lady didn't say anything at Knock. She
yep.
was just
mm-hmm.
there quietly. And isn't that an important lesson for us today with this noisy world of ours? The value of quiet and silence and just presence, you know. Then naturally Lourdes with St. Bernadette and the Grotto and Fatima with Francisco and Jacinta and Lucia and the Miracle of the Sun. And then finally the Queen of Angels in heaven, you know, with all the angels surrounding her. So we went through those. I could have done some more, but, you know, it's only a 32, 36-page children's book.
That's
so
gorgeous.
I had to pick the ones. I wanted to pick approved apparitions, and I wanted to pick apparitions. You know, Mary's under many titles, but those aren't like Our Lady of Grace, for instance, and they're not really apparitions. But I wanted to be like a travel narrative.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful to go through this right now. It's so bright and cheery, and the illustrations are so stunning. I think it's very comforting right now with everything we're going through. And by the way, Anthony's website, anthonydestefano.com, DESTEFANO.com. Go to the contact section, anthony@anthonydestefano.com, and email him if you tell him you specifically heard it here on Catholic Connection. He will give you a free copy of the book. And her mansion by the sea, by the way, looks like a villa on Lake Cuomo. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I'm Italian. I gave direction to the artist. I'm the art director here, and I gave direction to the artist. But, you know, I would say something specifically about what you just said about this particular time, and we've talked about this before. You know, look, when you're young, who takes care of you when you're sick? Your mother,
Mom.
Right? She, you know, well, when the world is sick, who should we go to? Our
Mom.
Mother in heaven.
Right.
Our Lady is the perfect saint to go to in these times to intercede for us. Remember, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And when he was an infant and when he was a child and when he was a teenager and a young adult, he probably got sick just as often as the kids do today. You know, and he was God. You know, so when God was sick, who did he entrust himself to? Who did God himself rely on to care for him and nurture him back to health? Our Lady.
Yep.
Well, if God turned to his mother when he was sick, shouldn't we do the same thing when our whole society is sick, or when we'd be afraid of becoming sick? You know? So Our Lady comes to us in our hearts, and she always brings with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and her son, Jesus Christ. And she will bring those into our home. And we should pray to her and St. Joseph for protection.
Amen. But now in heaven, Mary has a mansion by the sea with a wardrobe filled with clothes of great variety. And when she sometimes visits us and she picks her clothes with care, according to her travel plan, she chooses what to wear. Amen. Our Lady's Wardrobe. We'll be right back.
Call to Communion.
Through Edmonton Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
We recently filed a Friend of the Court brief in the U.S. Supreme Court in June Medical Services versus G, a case in which the justices will decide on the constitutionality of a Louisiana law requiring abortionists to have local hospital admitting privileges. We filed the brief on behalf of Priest for Life and Rachel's Vineyard, which provides post-abortion healing for the many people harmed by abortion. As set forth in our brief, Louisiana has a paramount right to protect the health and safety of its citizens, and this includes enacting regulations to raise the standard and quality of care for women seeking abortions. In support of Louisiana's right to enact such common sense regulations, we included in our brief the compelling testimonies of victims of abortion from states across the country, including Louisiana, persons who have been harmed in a profound way by the deadly procedure. These testimonies reveal that such regulations are not only valid, they are necessary. Supporters of abortion often claim that they want it to be safe, legal, and rare. The truth is, the abortion industry just wants to keep the deadly procedure legal. They could care less about safety, and they certainly don't want abortion or their profits from it to be rare. This is an important case because it's the first one in which both Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh will be deciding. We can hope that the court will acknowledge that it has overstepped its bounds in many ways on this issue, and that it will begin to introduce more sanity into the case law. I'm Robert Buse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Going all the way to Rome, speak with our dear friend and sister, Joan Lewis. EW10.com. Jones Rohn, you see her also on Jim and Joy Pinto. All right, there's been a lot of discussion this past week. Catholic News Agency, you sent me their story regarding this title of the Vicar of Christ and Cardinal Mueller commenting, and a lot of folks asking what is going on. So what is the situation there? What can you find out about that story? Because we're getting a lot of emails on it. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
I know. Good morning. And happy Holy Week, if that's possible this year. It'll be the most different one in 2,000 years. Yes, the so-called, what I've been calling the missing Vicar of Christ, which, of course, has been from Jesus Christ on. I mean, really, one of the, that title came to be when the Pope, when Jesus named the Prince of the Apostles, Peter, as vicar on earth to head the, to head the church on earth, which he had been doing for 2,000 years. The Vicar of Christ is the Pope and the successor of the apostles. So the fact that this title and the others that have followed it traditionally in a yearbook are missing. What happened was there was always a page that preceded the listing of all the popes of the church from Peter on. There was always one page dedicated to the current pontiff. And usually at the top of that page, it began with all the titles that that a pope would have, starting with the Vicar of Christ, the Servant of the Servants of God, the Successor of Peter, etc. And those titles appeared at the top of the page. Then you had the birth name of the current sovereign, in this case, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, Pope Francis. And then beneath that, a very brief biography, when and where born, when he was made bishop, cardinal, and pope. And this year in the Anuario, those titles, starting with Vicar of Christ, are missing. They are in teensy small print at the end, at the bottom of the page with the Pope's biography, and it simply says historical notes. And Teresa, I can't tell you how much research I've been doing on this. My thoughts were all jumbled when I first read the news, but
yeah.
I began to think, you know, he's called, Pope Francis has called for the theme of the 2022 Synod to be on synodality, a synod on synodality. And I have been wondering, first of all, the Pope has given, I don't think he's given one definition to what he, Francis, considers as synodality. But I'm just wondering, is he trying to say, since you think of a synod as being a meeting of bishops, etc., is he trying to say that he's just a bishop among bishops? Because the title that Pope Francis does use the most and prefer is the Bishop of Rome. So is he going to try and say in that synod, I am just one of you, I am a bishop among bishops? But, you know, if you look at the history of the Vicar of Christ, I have spent time looking at canon law. I have spent time looking at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I've been on the website clerus.org, the Congregation for Clergy. And there's a brilliant article, which I'm going to publish, by a professor, Alfonso Carrasco Rauco from Madrid, entitled The Bishop of Rome, the Authentic Vicar of Christ, Head of the Universal Church, the Father and Teacher of All Christians. So, I mean, first of all, I can't even fathom the idea that this would have been done without Pope Francis either originating it or approving it. But interestingly enough, if you think about it, Teresa, this has not been on VaticanNews.va. So that was one of the first places that I went to look for it.
You're right, because I am on the Vatican News site every single day. Looking at the Pope, the statements from the Pope, and like you are, in preparation for what we do, whether we're writing or doing a radio show or doing interviews, I go to Catholic News Agency, the Register, all kinds of really good, solid Catholic sources. And we've covered it, but the Vatican has not. I mean, you sent me, for some reason, I don't know, I missed the story, but I saw it on other Catholic sources, but you sent me the one from Catholic News Agency, which I thought was very well done, but nothing on the Vatican website.
Well, this is the whole thing. It was first noticed by a Vaticanista, Marco Tosati. And here's the interesting thing. The Anuario, it's a maybe 4 or 5 inch high volume, 2,000 to 3,000, I don't know how many thousands of pages. And anything you want to know in numbers and names about the Catholic Church around the world is in that volume. Not only who works where in Rome, but who works where in the smallest diocese of the world. So in that volume, it does begin, you know, earlier I said the biography of the current pope, and then from Peter on to through Benedict, for example, who the popes were, et cetera, where they were from, et cetera. So but the fact that normally the Annuario Pontificio, the pontifical yearbook, comes out in about February. Well, this year it came out March 25th. We're all in quarantine at home.
Right.
So somehow Marco must have gotten a hold of the book. I did not realize bookstores were open. Or did a friend of his, you know, from the Vatican bring him one? I don't know. But I did see a picture of the page where the Pope's name usually appears. And I looked at my own Annuario prior to 2020, of course, and it has all the titles at the top of the page. And then it has Jorge Mario Bergoglio, his bio, etc. And now those titles are in a small print, if you will, at the bottom of the page, and it just says historical titles, as if none of them count. But, I mean, again, if you go into canon law and the Catechism of the Church, Book 2, Part 2, Section 1, Chapter 1, Article 1, the Roman Pontiff. And it begins with him being the vicar of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So are canon law and the catechism going to have to be changed?
Well, I'm looking at this statement from Matteo Bruni, who's the director of the Holy See Press Office,
yes,
in the CNA piece. And he is telling the Italian bishop's newspaper, the yearbook was not, he claims it was not declaring that the title Vicar of Christ is merely of historical significance. He says if that were the case, we would have simply removed it. And he's citing Benedict XVI's decision to drop the title Patriarch of the West as an example. What's your response to that? What are you hearing in response to that?
Oh, I distinctly remember when Benedict had the title removed, and it was a question, really, in the beginning of someone. The yearbook came out, all the journalists went to get it, and bishops and so forth, and somebody noticed that the Patriarch of the West wasn't there. But a very good explanation was given. We know John Paul, we know Francis, wants to do everything to bring together the non-Catholic but Christian churches, so the Orthodox churches, etc. And if the title Patriarch of the West was a problem for churches of the East, especially, you know, non-Catholic Christian churches, and then Benedict felt, well, I can take out a title, for heaven's sakes. But you're now looking at a title, Vicar of Christ, that defines
right.
the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it was what Cardinal Mueller said. He said that there's a problem. Some of those titles are dogmatic. That is
right.
to say, church
right.
teaching. Okay, so successor of Peter, representative of Christ, visible head of the church. That's dogmatic. The fact that he is the head of Vatican City State, that's not dogma. We know he heads Vatican City State, but that is not a dogma of the church as successor of Peter would be. So this is an instance where I don't think, you know, with all respect for Matteo heading the press office, I just found that explanation a little bit hard to understand, you know.
Yeah, he's looking at it from an historical perspective. But as you said, yeah, there's history, but there's also the dogma involved here.
That's it. And that part of it was not mentioned. And the thing is, you know, another journalist did an interview with the Pope a few days ago, how are you living this time of the coronavirus? And what I would have done is also said, Holy Father, by the way, the most stunning announcement was made the other day, is it true that you did this and why? Of course I would have asked the Pope. So, and let's get something from him. But as I said, before we went on the air, I thought, wait a minute, I don't think I've seen this on Vatican News. So, and something that important not to be on the Vatican News website, the thing is, it leaves you and me and others who care about, who love our church and Holy Father, it leaves us with nothing but questions.
Right.
And we don't want to have questions without answers, Teresa, because what do people do when they don't get answers? Then they surmise.
Right. I had a very nice gentleman write me this morning and say, what is going on? What do you make of this? And I said, just listen in. I'm talking to John. I can't read people's minds. We can't read people's minds. The only thing we can do is report. But again, the question, as he wrote to me, you and I have as journalists, as Catholic journalists, what is going on? And when they don't address it, the silence speaks more than the actual action itself in many ways.
I mean, if the Pope wanted to eliminate the title Sovereign of Vatican City State, I don't think anybody, people might be surprised and, oh, really interesting. But nobody would be writing to the Vatican and you and me and other publications and putting on their blog what on earth just happened. You know, if the Pope wasn't the Supreme Sovereign of Vatican City State, if maybe the Pope would say, okay, now as of this date, I want the Cardinal Secretary to be the Supreme, you know, leader. That would even be more acceptable, but a title that goes back to Jesus Christ and St. Peter does present problems for a lot of us, and you and I today, again, we're, I know what the church says and teaches and the Congregation for Clergy and the Catechism, but that doesn't give, we know what they teach, but we don't have the answer about why that teaching was changed.
And we need those answers because this is, again, we don't want confusion to reign and we want people to understand what's happening. And I think we can make judgments and jump to conclusions, but if you can't talk or don't get a response from the Vatican, other than the claim that it's an historical title, as the head of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruno, said, again, there's too many questions that still remain. And when you have high-ranking officials, such as the very well-respected Cardinal Mueller saying these things, Vigano, I know, has weighed in as well, this is a problem. And so we want to put it out there for people. We are covering the story. Joan's covering it. She's done a ton of research, and the Catholic News Agency has a comprehensive piece that they've posted as well. We don't have time to talk about the other subject, but hopefully we'll get to that next week. Before we let you go, a very different Holy Week in Rome. We have about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Obviously, every single thing that the Holy Father celebrates will be online, and I, this afternoon, am going to be posting the links to the booklets for the Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper so people can follow when they go on their television for EWTN, or they might go to their, use their computer, going to VaticanNews.va and watching the videos of the Pope. So I will put up the links to the different booklets for Holy Thursday and two booklets for Good Friday for the Stations of the Cross that I understand will be done where he did, I'll have to check on this, where he did the Urbi and Orbi last week.
Okay. So underneath the loggia in front of St. Peter's, right?
And, of course, the Vatican's doing, as you could see from the Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Palm Sunday, the Vatican's doing its best to recreate, as they did with palm trees and olive branches and so forth, trying to recreate some kind of a scenario, even if it's in an altar, at an altar inside the basilica. So we're all going to have chances, I guess, in our own parishes to partake of this through the social media. So it's the one way in coming days that we can still be social, I guess.
Amen. Yeah. You have a blessed Easter, Buona Pasqua. We'll talk to you during Easter week, and more information from Joan Lewis, keeping us updated on some of the big stories making headlines, not only in Rome, but around the world. We'll wrap up a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. When we come back, it's about 54 minutes past the hour now.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Ave Maria Radio produced program is brought to you by the following nonprofit.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn. My brand new book, Hope to Die, The Christian Meaning of Death and the Resurrection of the Body, is now available for pre-order at stpaulcenter.com. That's stpaulcenter.com. I do hope that everyone will get a chance to read this book and reflect on the Christian meaning of death and the virtue of hope, especially in this season of grace and crisis.
Join today's discussion and engage with producers on the Ave Maria Radio Facebook and Twitter accounts at Ave Maria Radio. Respond to interviews and learn who's coming up on Crest in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, and other Ave Maria Radio programs. Make it easier by downloading the Ave Maria app on your smart devices. Then just tap on the Facebook and Twitter icons to get plugged in on the things that matter most. That's the Ave Maria Radio app or at Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nations.
From conception to natural death, CMF Curo is here to guide you and your family through the healthcare journey. They offer a Christ-centered path to healthcare, from one-on-one guidance to spiritual resources and community-based health sharing. CMF Curo offers an affordable healthcare option that's consistent with the Catholic Church's teaching on life and the family. You can learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Have a beautiful Wednesday. We will be talking tomorrow with Dr. Monica Miller on The Passion, the book she wrote about the Passion of the Christ. It's a great book. And my goodness, do yourself a favor, as we always do, and watch The Passion. Can you believe it came out in 2004? 16 years ago. And Dr. Joseph White, Listening for God in Everyday Life. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.